From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It's nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, started from news, highlight of the week, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id.
Here is the news. First, the headline. Minister of Law and Human Rights Yasona H. Lauli is leading an Indonesian delegation to Belgrade on Saturday to strengthen bilateral ties and pursue mutual legal assistance treaty with Serbia. President Director of Airport Operator Company PT Angkasa Pura II Muhammad Awaluddin said that the company will apply for strategies to recover the flight industry during the COVID-19 pandemic. No news in detail. Minister of Law and Human Rights Yasona H. Lauli is leading an Indonesian delegation to Belgrade on Saturday to strengthen bilateral ties and pursue mutual legal assistance with Serbia. According to the statement received here on Saturday as quote by Antara, the minister is scheduled to meet a number of Serbian ministers and law enforcement authorities during his visit. During the meeting, the minister and the ambassador had discussed the potential for cooperation between Indonesia and Serbia within the law and human rights minister realm, including in mutual legal assistance and extradition. He further stated that legal and human rights cooperation with Serbia need to be expanded as part of effort to address the increasing global challenges, particularly regarding drug crime and human trafficking that are part of organized transnational crimes. President Director Airport Operator Company PT Angkasa Pura II Muhammad Awaluddin said that the company will apply for strategies to recover the flight industry during the COVID-19 pandemic. According to Awaluddin, the process, which will involve various stakeholders, will commence on July 2020. The first strategy is the company will optimize the flight slot up to 30%. The second strategy is to reactivate flight routes along with increasing demand, which will increase airplane utilization. As for the third strategy, Angkasa Pura will provide alternative for active routes. The fourth strategy is to normalize airport operation hours. Currently, Awaluddin ensured that the company has restored airport operation hours to before the pandemic. Top national gas distributor PGN is channeling fresh reduced natural gas to a major oleochemical plant in North Sumatra owned by a subsidiary of consumer giant PT Unilever Indonesia, giving a boost to the plant production. PT Unilever Oleochemical Indonesia, which owned the plant in Semangkai Special Economic Zone, has been paying $6 per million British thermal unit of gas since June 1st. It was paying 8 per MMBTU before the government offered the price incentive. Sanchoyo Antarikso, Corporate Secretary of PT Unilever Indonesia, told the Jakarta Post on Friday that 85% of our products are exported and we become more competitive. The 2 trillion rupiah plan, which began operation in 2015, processed crude palm oil into 200,000 tons of oleochemical each year. The chemicals are processed into soap, shampoo, detergent, and plastic, among the other everyday items. Unilever is among 100 companies in Indonesia slated to receive the price reduced natural gas over the next 4 years, as stipulated under Energy and Mineral Resources Minister Decree No. 89/2020. Coming up, the international news. 15 people are believed dead and 9 are missing on Japan's southern island of Kyushu as devastating rain caused flooding and landslide. 14 victims were found in the same flooded nursing home while the others were pulled from the landslide. The death have yet to be formally certified. The authorities have ordered more than 200,000 to evacuate and 10,000 soldiers are being sent to help rescue. Heavy rain is predicted to continue overnight into Sunday. Prime Minister Shinzo Abe urged people to be on maximum alert. U.S. President Donald Trump has used a 4 July address to thwart the country's progress against COVID-19 despite a nationwide spike in cases. Amid criticism on his handling of the pandemic, he said China, where the virus originated, must be held fully accountable. The president also berated protesters who toppled the monument of U.S. leader at a recent anti-racism protest. In a combative tone that echoed in Friday night's speech on Mount Rushmore in South Dakota, the president pledged to defeat the radical left, the Marxism and anarchists, the agitator, the looter. He spoke from the White House lawn flanked by his wife Melania to a crowd that included U.S. soldiers and frontline medical staff. Mexico confirmed nearly 7,000 new coronavirus cases in the past 24 hours and over 500 new coronavirus-related deaths, with the country's total COVID-19 death toll now being the fifth largest in the world. This was said by Jose Luis Alomia, the director of epidemiology at Mexico, Minister of Health, during a Saturday press conference broadcast on Twitter. According to the latest data from Johns Hopkins University, Mexico has become the country with fifth largest coronavirus death toll, surpassing France, which has 29,000 confirmed coronavirus-related deaths. The United States has the highest COVID-19 death toll, over 129,000. It's followed by Brazil, the United Kingdom, and Italy. Authorities in the Australian city of Melbourne have confined people living in 9 housing estate tower block because of an outbreak of coronavirus. The 3,000 or so residents of the block are being told not to leave their homes for any reason for at least 5 days. At least 23 cases of infection were found on 2 estates in recent days. The state of Victoria recorded 108 new cases on Saturday, its second biggest daily increase. Australia as a whole has seen 104 coronavirus deaths. There have been at least 8,362 infections nationwide. That is the news read out by Antin Subriati.
This week's highlight is on national police involvement in handling COVID-19. President Joko Widodo said that the involvement of all levels of the Indonesian police to deal with the COVID-19 pandemic was needed, including in maintaining health protocols and overseeing the distribution of social assistance. President Joko Widodo said that at the State Palace in Jakarta on Wednesday, July 1st, in the 74th anniversary of the Indonesian Police or Police Day or Bayangkara Day. The ceremony was also witnessed through a video conference connection by Vice President Ma'ruf Amin, Minister of Advanced Indonesian Cabinet, and heads of police in all regions in Indonesia. In his remarks, President Joko Widodo reminded, as a fighting nation, Indonesia must not quickly surrender to the COVID-19 pandemic that swept the world, including Indonesia. This pandemic is an ordeal. All parties must continue to work hard to overcome health problems and economic problems. But in this endeavor, the safety of the people remains the most important thing. The president asked the police to prioritize persuasive and humanist action in guarding the handling of the COVID-19 pandemic. According to him, people's safety is the highest law, but the national police must also remain vigilant, responsive, and firm in handling any violation of the law by maintaining professionalism and people's trust. President Joko Widodo also ordered the ranks of the National Police, the Attorney General's Office, the Corruption Eradication Commission, and the Government Internal Oversight Agency to continue to strengthen synergy and cooperation. When conducting surveillance, President Joko Widodo requested that aspects of prevention should be put forward. The president said that although the National Police is currently focusing on helping to control the COVID-19 pandemic, its various strategic agendas must not be forgotten. The National Police must continue to reform themselves totally, always trying to improve themselves to be more professional and modern. The president pushed to turn all weaknesses into strengths. Furthermore, the president also warned the National Police would face increasingly severe and increasingly complex challenges ranging from conventional crimes, transnational crimes, crimes with contingency implication, to crimes against state wealth. Potential threats to domestic security stability also need to be watched out, especially ahead of the simultaneous regional head elections in late 2020 in December. President Joko Widodo, on behalf of the people, nation, and state, congratulated the Indonesian National Police on its 74th anniversary. That was Spotlight of the Week.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today in history, I'll begin with July the 5th, 1959. The July the 5th presidential decree is issued. Presidential decree on July the 5th, 1959 was issued by the first president of Indonesia, Sukarno, on July the 5th, 1959. It contains the dissolution of the Constituent Assembly, results of the 1955 election, and the replacement of the constitution from the 1950 provisional constitution back to the 1945 constitution. In the decree issued on July the 5th, 1959, exactly today, 60 years ago, Sukarno said, "I am the President of the Republic of Indonesia, Supreme Commander of the Armed Forces, determining the dissolution of the constituents." In addition to the dissolution of the Constituent Assembly, the formation of the Provisional People's Consultative Assembly was also announced, consisting of members of the House of Representatives plus group and regional delegates. A temporary Supreme Advisory Council was also formed. Turning to the July the 5th, 1962, Algerian independence. Algeria is officially a Democratic People's Republic of Algeria, a country on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea, North Africa. In 1954, the National Liberation Front, FLN, launched a guerrilla war. After nearly a decade of war in the cities and villages, they succeeded in forcing France out in 1962. On September the 25th, 1962, Ferhat Abbas was elected president of a provincial government with Ahmed Ben Bella as prime minister. I conclude with July the 5th, 2004, Indonesian presidential election. The 2004 Indonesian presidential and vice presidential general election was held for the 2004 to 2009 period, the first time held in Indonesia. The general election was held for two rounds and was won by the pair Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono and Muhammad Yusuf Kalla. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener in the segment Listener's Mailbag, we would like to thank our dear listeners wherever you are who have sent your letters or emails containing deception reports on our broadcast. Now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Mouad Belgrid from Morocco. Hello, Mr. Belgrid. Thank you for paying attention on VOI cruise. We are in good condition. We hope you and family are also in good and healthy condition. As appreciation, we will play a beautiful song. Here is the song.
sempurna. Perjuangkan harga dirimu dan raihlah cintamu. Dengan tekad kita bisa. Kita kuat, kita hebat. Aku kamu, kita istimewa. Kita kuat, kita semua hebat. Bangkit kembali meraih mimpi. Kesalahan, kegagalan hidupmu jadikan pelajaran yang berharga. Jangan salahkan keadaan dan teruslah berjuang menjadi.
Listen to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that will present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today, July the 5th, 2020, is on Ministry of Youth and Sport discuss plans for competition continuation. The Ministry of Youth and Sports held a meeting with the Task Force for the Acceleration of COVID-19 Handling to discuss the continuation of the national sport competition, which is planned to be rolling again soon. The meeting was attended by Secretary of the Ministry of Youth and Sports, Gatot S. Dewabroto, who said the meeting was a quick response from the chair of the task force after the ministry on June the 23rd requested for referrals to a number of badminton events, footballs, basketball, and other sports. In an official statement received in Jakarta on Thursday, June the 25th, Gatot Dewabroto said that the task force leader basically stressed that sports sector stakeholders must still pay attention to the reality that the spread of COVID-19 virus is still ongoing. Therefore, if they really want to hold a competition, the task force emphasizes discipline in implementing health protocols and routine PCR testing to avoid the potential of creating new clusters of COVID-19. In addition, the task force also requested that the venue for sporting events and competitions not take place in areas where the spread of COVID-19 was still worrying. The organizers are still required to coordinate with the local regional task force and related agencies. The incident experienced by Serbian Novak Djokovic as the person in charge of the Adriatour tournament in Belgrade, which had resulted in him, his family, and three colleagues participating in contracting COVID-19, was also briefly discussed at the meeting. Referring to the incident, Gatot Dewabroto said it should be a lesson that it is not easy to roll back sport competition in the midst of condition where the spread of COVID-19 is still not controlled. A number of national sports competitions such as the Indonesian Basketball League, IBL 2020, and Indonesian Soccer League 1 and 2 are planned to be held again due to the government's green light. Meanwhile, the All Indonesian Football Association on June 19th officially decided to continue the Indonesian League 1 and 2 competitions, which have been suspended since March 2020 in September or October, while the IBL 2020 will continue directly to the playoffs, which are planned to be held in early September until early October. Well, that was my Indonesia today.
Voice of Indonesia.
Now we'll reply an email from our listener, Paul Nancaro in Townsville, North Queensland, Australia. He was listening to our broadcast through frequency 3325 kHz at 1325 hours UTC, and the SINPO was 43433. Hello, Mr. Nancaro. Thank you for monitoring to our radio. We are really glad because our broadcast can be heard clearly in your country. Special for you, we'll play another beautiful song. Here is the song.
rindu, mengapa rindu, mengapa rindu padamu.
RR was Office Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Indonesian Wonder over a Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, and today's edition is about a tourist spot called Olele Marine Park, located in Olele Village, Kabila Bone Sub-District, Bone Bolango District, Gorontalo. The distance from Gorontalo city center to this marine park is around 20 kilometers. It can be reached by passing the winding road on the edge of the hill. On your way, you will cross a residential area with a contrasting view. On one side, you will be amazed by the steep cliffs and trees, and on the other side, you will admire the expanse of blue and green sea without limits. Olele Beach is a gateway to the paradise of the Olele Marine Park with a very beautiful marine environment. Wood divers have proven that some of the marine life in the Olele Marine Park is not found in other parts of the world or other waters. The Olele Marine Park houses a lot of beauty, including gin cave with ornamental fish, marine biota, healthy, dense, and beautiful coral reefs, giant coral flower, and also some rare fish species. When you are snorkeling in the Olele Marine Park, you can see a rare coral reef that resembles Picasso's work of art. Because that, people name it Picasso Coral Reef. And if you are lucky, you can also meet marine mammals and dolphins. If you are not a diver, don't worry, you can still enjoy the fabulous underwater panorama. Some wooden boats with glass floor made by local people are ready to take tourists to travel across the waters to enjoy the beauty of coral reefs, rare fish, and other biota from the boat. That was today's edition of Indonesian Wonder. Tomorrow we'll meet again with another topic.
Now we'll reply an email from our listener, Akira Takei in Asahikawa, Hokkaido, Japan. He was listening to our broadcast in Japanese program. Hello, Mr. Akira Takei. Thank you for your reception report. Your email has been forwarded to Japanese section. Please be patient to wait for the reply. Thank you. Listener Voice of Indonesia, here is another Indonesian song for you and listener around the world. Enjoy the song.
Semoga selamat.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Listener, here is Miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back to Miscellany. This edition is about Napoleon fish found again in West Sumatran waters. Stay tuned at www.vinews.id. Napoleon or Chinalus undulatus are among the rare fish species that need to be preserved. According to the International Union for Conservation of Nature or IUCN Red List site on Friday, July 3, 2020, Napoleon fish is categorized as endangered. This status is the fourth stage before a species is completely extinct from Earth. IUCN states the number of adult Napoleon fish continues to decline. The fish included in the Labridae family are spread across a number of regions ranging from the waters of Australia, Japan, Papua New Guinea, Indonesia, and several other countries. The IUCN website states there were 2 to 3 adult Napoleon fish per 8,000 square meters in found the waters of northern Queensland, Australia in 2002. There are no detailed data on the total population of these fish globally. However, the density of these fish is very low or rarely occurs more than 10 Napoleon fish in an area of 10,000 square meters. One reason for the low number of the fish is the declining existence of coral reefs. Hunting is also a cause of threat to this type of fish. A number of steps have been taken to protect Napoleon fish conservation and include it in international regulations. Indonesia already has rules to protect Napoleon fish in a Minister of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries decree in 2013 concerning determination of the protection status of Napoleon fish or Chaenalus undulatus. In this regulation, limited protection is specified for certain sizes for Napoleon fish, which range in size from 100 grams to 1,000 grams, and those with more than 3,000 grams. But this ministerial decree provides exceptions for research and development. Napoleon fish were seen when the team from the management of the National Waters Conservation Area conducted monitoring in Pieh waters in West Sumatra. Last week, the results of monitoring at 14 points in the Pieh Marine Park found sightings of Napoleon fish at 2 points. Head of Pekanbaru National Aquatic Conservation Area, Fajar Kurniawan, said the Napoleon fish was last found around 1994 until 1995. He added that after conservation in the Pieh region, coral reefs were getting better and Napoleon fish was found again. Minister of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries Edi Prabowo said he was happy with the findings of Napoleon fish in Pieh waters, West Sumatra, by the National Aquatic Conservation Area workshop. The minister assessed the emergence of Napoleon fish after 26 years of disappearing, indicating that the condition of Indonesia's seas has improved. Napoleon fish is known as a reef guard fish. In addition, Napoleon fish also has quite expensive prices and is a protected animal. Well, listener, that was miscellaneous for today. We will meet again with other interesting information. See you!
Found the one. Look
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back to Music Corner. Today we will present you a song by Yuka Tamada. The Makassar Japanese mixed blood singer began to be known since she appeared in the Indonesian Idol, broadcast at the national private television. Since then, she has continued her work in the Indonesian music industry. Apart from being singer, she also composed several songs. One of the songs she created was titled Tell Me Baby. The song tells about the feeling of confusion and despair experienced by someone when she does not have a definite answer. The song Tell Me Baby was written by Yuka based on stories from the people around her. The music arrangement was assisted by Rizky Pristiono, who took on the nuances of R&B in the 90s. Well, listener, here is the song Tell Me Baby, sung by Yuka Tamada.
Tell me baby one more time, hingga kau kembali padaku. Tell me baby one more time, masih adakah peluang untuk diriku? Tell me baby one more time, apa ku kurang sempurna? Tell me baby one more time, untuk berada di sisimu. Tell me baby one more time, tidak cukupkah hanya dengan cintaku?
sepi, kau menemani di saat ku sedih. Kau menghibur hati di saat ku pergi. Kau setia menanti, kau cinta sejati. Cinta sejati. Di saat ku gerah, kau memadamkan.
Of Indonesia.
Kita telah memutuskan tak lagi bersama karena rintangan yang ada tak henti menghadang. Haruskah ku resah ini, salahkah aku atas perasaan ini yang tak mampu menutupi aku masih cinta kamu. Biarkan aku pilih jalan ku sendiri tanpa harus ada lagi cinta selain. Thank you.
untuk sendiri tanpa harus ada lagi cinta selain dirimu. Yang kau mampu menutupi, aku masih cinta kamu. Biarkan aku pilih jalan untuk sendiri tanpa harus ada lagi cinta selain dirimu. Kasih,
Voice of Indonesia.
Selamat pagi malam, ku sampaikan cerita akhir petang hari ini. Ku suka, ku nyaman bercumbu berdua denganmu, menikmati nada yang kita rangkai.
Well, listener, it is time for me to sign off now. Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Don't forget to check out our other social media accounts such as Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. I'm Putri Safira Adela. See you on the next English program.